Hello, everyone. This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub. This is going to be my 11th episode. Today, I'm going to speak on the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. I'm not going to go too much in depth on it, but I'm going to hit the high points of it. If you want to know more about this, then you can always go to my website at youngmantheprophet.com and shoot me an email, and I will absolutely get back with you on it, and we can have a discussion more about what God is showing to me about these two witnesses. Now, I'm going to go cover a lot of information today, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to have to seek the Lord about and read the scriptures while the Spirit of the Lord is showing you these things. And this is how it works anyway. I have experience in the Lord that gives me this vision of who He is and what He is doing in this hour, and especially in these two witnesses. You know, this is something that is very needful for the culmination of God's redemption. It is going to be in and through these two witnesses by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing it to pass. Over the past couple of months, I have gone onto the internet and looked at what other people's opinions are about the two witnesses, blogs, YouTube, you know, just websites in general, and they all lack the core value that these two witnesses are going to be displaying. You know, they talk about their works, and you know, they want to equate these works with certain people of the Old Testament, of Elijah and Moses and Enoch, but they don't see why they're doing these things. You know, these works are just displaying something on the outward that has happened to them in the inward. And so they glorify the works. They don't glorify the true work within that Jesus Christ has created within them. First off, let me say that this idea that they're Moses and Elijah or Enoch or whoever else they may say, there is no reincarnation. That isn't how it works. It has never happened. That's some type of doctrine of Buddhism or Hinduism, whatever it may be. That is what that is. If someone is displaying a certain spiritual quality of, let's say, Elijah's spirit, which he has come on the scene on multiple occasions, it's not because Elijah himself has come on the scene. Man has one life in this first creation. Once he passes on to the next scene, he doesn't come back, period, ever. What does is the spirit behind him or them, that is what is a constant behind the scene, whether it's an angel of the Lord or whether it is a principality and power of Satan. You have over time, you have various accounts of ones who have come on the scene. They say, I have been here before, especially generals in the army, Patton and all of them. They've always said, well, I've been here before. Well, how is it they've been here before? It's because the spirit, it is a spirit behind them that is giving them this information. It has been here before. It has been on multiple people, and it gives them an information of what to do in that hour. They don't know this. None of us know this. You know, but this is what God is showing in this hour, that this is how He works. He works through the angels of the Lord, and also the world itself is controlled by Satan and his angels. We all have been controlled by the darkness at some point or another, you know, and this is the fruits that we have produced. So to say that these two witnesses are literally Elijah or Moses is a false representation of the word of the Lord, period. If anything, it would be the angel of the Lord that was on Elijah at that time back in Old Testament that is on one of these individuals, you know, and that is why they're able to display the same thing. I'm going to go against all of that because here's the point of the two witnesses of the works that they do. They are displaying a change within them. That's the only reason why they're doing these works. They're displaying a full measure of what God has been doing in Jesus Christ for 2,000 years and what He's been doing since the very beginning of time. These two witnesses are going to be witnessing what they have experienced. They have experienced a transformation within them that they have battled their own flesh and put it to death and or the flesh of others that have come against them. And they have put that part of themselves to death and they have been empowered over those works to display God's heavenly kingdom in Jesus Christ. And so these two witnesses are displaying this work. in the first half of Daniel's 70th week. They are displaying this change within them. And the outward is these events are going to happen that come against them, and they're going to show that they have power over them, and they're going to show exactly what they have done to their flesh. They put their flesh to death, and so the ones that come against them are going to be put to death because that is representing the flesh. Every single Christian, true born-again bride of Christ in this hour, should be displaying this work. Maybe on a small degree, but this is the work that we all display. We're one in all of this. This isn't something that is just for the two witnesses. This is for all of us. Though God empowers certain ones to show up more, we should all have this foundational work of being dead to our old man and alive unto God. And we should display works that do that. This idea that they are two individuals of the Old Testament is ludicrous. It is nuts. Isn't the case. So I'm going to go in on this, the two witnesses here, and explain a lot about it and what they are doing and what they are witnessing to Israel herself and also to the bride and the world in general. First off, I want to talk about what this witness is all about. God, in the very beginning, before he created anything, the purpose of all of this is for him to create a bride, a body that is going to glorify him as God. This is his whole purpose in everything. There is no other purpose. And so the first creation is the means by which he is going to create this body of glory, which is the second creation. That is the full purpose of everything. You don't see it in the first creation at this moment because this first creation isn't meant to show that. It's the second creation that is to display that. Now, you might have dark types within the first creation, but to truly see the full working of God and what he is doing and his plan and will, you have to look at the ones who are of the second creation, the sons of God who have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. They are truly displaying who God is and what his plan and purpose is. The first creation showing just the opposite is showing us who we are as creation without God. We have nothing but chaos and darkness and lack of understanding and wisdom of what God's doing. We have many religions, we have governments, we have societies, we have all this stuff that is nothing but nonsense. And none of it is displaying God and his plan. It's displaying creation and her powerlessness to do anything other than to create works of death. So the plan and purpose of God, like I said, from the beginning, is to create this body of glory that is going to worship him as God, and it's going to have experienced that it in and of itself doesn't have the power to do anything unless God empowers it to do this. This is what these two witnesses are going to be displaying. So let's go to the beginning of Adam and Eve. What's the purpose of Adam and Eve? I mean, other than, yes, procreating the creation itself. Adam is the male. He represents and types out God himself. Eve represents creation. She types out creation itself. She is to receive of the seed of God, the seed of life. When she receives of the seed of life, then she produces a child. So if you look at this, Adam is typed out as God. Eve is typed out as the first creation. And when she receives of the seed of God, what does she do? She creates a second creation, which is a son. That is the purpose of everything. This is what God is showing to us. It's the plan and will of God from the very beginning for him to create sons of God. Now, is Adam any different than Eve? No, they're all the same. We're all creation. Man is creation. Women is creation. But it is the type that we are to see and why God has typed it out this way in a fallen state so we can understand him. And this is why it is so crucial to see that the male is the one who gives the seed. It is the woman who receives of the seed and produces a new life. You know, and that is the same thing with Jesus Christ and his church. You know, now you have ones, the pastors that come on the scene, they at times receive of Jesus Christ, his seed, and then they become the male for this hour. And they preach the truth to a church, which is the feminine side, that receives of it. And she produces a son in the church. She produces a new life, a new birth. Now, here's the whole thing about the male and the female. You know, when the church first started, there is no difference between male or female, Jew or Gentile, bond or free. We're all the same. And yet, women weren't to preach. So why is this? Because there's certain types that haven't been fulfilled yet. We still need to produce these types within the church. I mean, mankind himself has to produce children. They're still born in sin. So not everything was redeemed yet in the beginning of the church and down through the church ages. These types still had to be played out. Each church age has a different image that they produce within the grace that God has given to them in their hour. You know, the first church age is different than the last church age. And the same thing with the ones in between. They're all different. You know, it all depends on what grace God is giving to them in their hour. The first church age had a spirit of a line going forward. They had a tremendous power to display this pureness of heart within them. You know, they no longer did the things that they used to do. Their sin was truly put to death. You know, they experienced a resurrection over the things that they used to do. Did they still experience hardships? Absolutely. They suffered. They experienced all kinds of suffering against the ones who believed that they were preaching the truth in their hour, the religious ones of their hour. But they still had to type out certain things within the community of the church, which was the male and the female. They still had to type it out. It isn't until the very end of time that those types will be truly done away with when the resurrection happens. But up until this in times, these types still need to be displayed because they're displaying who God is and his creation and what he's doing. So, you know, you have these pastors on the scene today to talk about, well, it doesn't matter, women can preach and all that stuff and everything like that. Well, and they always take it into the carnal. They always look at it as we all have this equal rights of things. And yes, we do. But it is in the will of God for what he is doing. It's not about us. It's not about what we think it should be like. Well, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. It was a different age. No, they are typing out the types of God and his creation. And he hasn't changed up yet. It's just that the world doesn't want anything to do with it, including the church world. It's all lukewarmness, you know, because they don't have the Spirit of the Lord to show them these things, that the types are still in place until the redemption happens. You know, so you have the male and the female. And that's another thing too, is to speak on homosexuality. The type is you have God and then you have his creation who receives of God. Well, if you have two males, then what we're saying is there are two gods. Both have seeds and there's no creation brought forward. There's no new birth because the woman has to produce the new child, the son of God. And so that contradicts it. That's the reason why that's wrong. It's no different than any other type of sin. All the sin is the same. What's happening behind the scene, there's spirits that control all of us. The darkness controls us until God redeems us out of it. And so these spirits of homosexuality are on these men, and they produce an image according to that. The true image is this. You have God and his creation. If you have creation and creation, it's not going to produce any life, period. And mankind worships creation rather than the creator. That's what this first creation is set up for. This is what we have been born into. Until God wakes us up out of it, we are trapped here. We have no power to change anything. It doesn't matter what the government says and does or any type of law that's set in place. None of it is going to change who we are inside of us, that we are creation. We are trapped in this until God causes us to experience our true helplessness, and he then raises us up out of this helplessness and empowers us to be his bride. So that's the male and the female side. The reason why I'm bringing this out is because the witness of who God is not two males. The witness is there is a male and then there is a female. That is the true witness. It's been like that since the beginning. The reason why Jesus Christ didn't display this is because he himself had to sit down on the throne acting as God. Where is the Father at right now? The Father is immersed within all of creation. He is the one that's bringing everything forward. There is no one sitting on his throne. There hasn't been anyone on his throne since the beginning of time until Jesus Christ came on the scene. Now, you have the seven spirits of God that are before the throne, which are seven mighty angels. We know two names. We know Michael and Gabriel. Each of them had their own portion to bring forward. In their time, whatever God has anointed them to do, it becomes awake in them, and they go forward and they do it. and they command the rest of the angels to follow in suit. But not one of these seven angels have ever sat down on the throne itself and ruled over the other six angels. None of them have. Until Jesus Christ came on the scene, and he experienced the true powerlessness of being separated from the angels. He went into the center of the earth, and then in 3 days, he was empowered within his spirit to raise himself back up. That is when he received his inheritance. His inheritance is the seven mighty angels, the seven eyes, the seven horns. That is what now empowers him to sit down on the throne as God. He now controls the seven spirits of God. And from them, he has the collective plan of God within himself now. That's what he has been given. That's what he has inherited. He now goes forward and does exactly what God has planned and purposed from before the foundation of the world. And this is what he is bringing forward. Now, Jesus Christ, like I was saying, that's what his purpose is. But he also has to display the fullness of God, which is God himself and his creation. And that's what he's doing in this very end time. He's going to have two witnesses display this, what he has been doing from the very beginning to the flood, to Israel themselves, to his death, burial, and resurrection, to the church ages. Everything that has been going on in creation itself is going to be displayed in these two witnesses. They are going to show the full measure in and through two people, not just one. Jesus Christ was the full measure of God in one person. In him was both the culmination of Adam and Eve, just like Adam was in the very beginning of the garden. Both were in him. Now at the end of the church ages, these two witnesses, the capstone, are going to be displaying the broke down version of Almighty God, which is God himself and his creation. That is the male and the female. Jesus Christ was both. He displays both because that's what he's doing at this moment. He's sitting as God himself, controlling all things, creating his feminine counterpart, his creation. So you have God, which is Adam, and then you have Eve, which is the church. And Jesus Christ within him was both. And so that's what these two witnesses are going to be manifesting. They're going to be displaying this truth. They are going to be the fullness of Jesus Christ here on this earth, walking. This says that Jesus Christ is coming back a second time without sin to save those unto salvation. And that's what he's going to be doing in and through these two witnesses. Now, how are they going to show this? They themselves are going to have experienced the complete removal of their sin. This is the whole point of all this. The church ages themselves, they only receive portions of this down through time. And they're still waiting on their full measure of salvation, which is going to happen at the rapture or resurrection. What these two witnesses have experienced is they have experienced the full redemption of their old man. When they were born here into this first creation, they produced sin just like everyone else. Every single work that they ever produced was a work that separated them further and further away from Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm of the righteous angels. The more they tried to do the things of the Lord, the further they got away from him. It wasn't until they themselves experienced the salvation of the Lord that they began to deal with their sin. Now, how do they receive the salvation? They received it through the prior churches. The church ages themselves, what God has been doing in Jesus Christ from Paul's hour on. If you go back into my prior podcast, you'll hear a little bit about what I talked of this church age today, where you have Brother Branham and Brother Jackson that came on the scene that really showed the Spirit of the Lord and what he was doing in this hour. That separates us from this Trinity doctrine that's out there in the world today that keeps everyone in blindness. I mean, my goodness, I still think about this, that in the Nicaea Council back in 300 AD, they made a ruling that the Trinity doctrine was the truth. And what do you have for the next 1,000, 1,200 years is darkness, absolute darkness, nothing but murder and chaos. I mean, so this is the God of Paul's hour. Paul didn't do no murdering. He did murdering when he was as a Jew under the law. But when he came into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was empowered to deal with those spirits behind the scene. He no longer produced those works of sin and separation. Well, what did the Catholic Church do? They produced the same exact things he did when he was a Pharisee. It killed everyone. That is the Trinity doctrine. And it's just taken on a more lukewarm position today because you can't go around doing those things anymore. Speaking of that in these prior podcasts, that this is what these two witnesses have come into. They have come into this truth, you know, and when they started to experience the Lord, they began to experience the final part of it, the capstone that Jesus Christ has been doing from the very beginning, which is a complete removal of all these works that they have done themselves. Now, how has this happened is they are empowered in their spirit. Their spirit now takes of their old man, which exists behind the scene. You can only see the physical body in this physical realm, but behind the scene, there is another body that makes up all the works that we have ever done. And it's filled with sickness and darkness and sin and hate and or pleasures of love and of this world and everything. That man has to be dealt with, because when the spirit creates a work, that work exists. It needs to be dealt with. And this is what they have experienced. They experience a complete undoing of every single work that they have ever done. And as they undo these works, they are empowered over that work in the spirit that has caused them to create these works. So this is what they're going to be displaying in the first half of the week of the tribulation period. Now, these two witnesses, when they come on the scene, the reason why they're going to come on the scene when they do is you're going to have this system, which is the Roman system of back in the day. If you look on the maps of what Rome and all other systems have ruled over, the furthest stretch of their hold was up to India. So that included Pakistan and back, the whole way over to Europe itself. And this is what the Roman Empire controlled. It stopped ruling for the longest of time. You can see there's nothing but chaos over there now. You know, everywhere. You have all kind of religions. You have everything going on over there. There is no stability anywhere. You know, and America is the same way, except we have this president now that is starting to do something that is bringing some type of order to all this chaos that we have been in for decades now. It's not to be looked at as we are to worship these things. You got to see that there's a plan that God has put into action that is bringing all these systems and governments together so that it comes against these two witnesses. That's the whole point of all of it. If you just look at the nations themselves and America herself, and you glorify them themselves, then you're worshiping the flesh. You know, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter if it's Democratic side or the Republican side, it's all the same. It's all of this a natural kingdom of this first creation. It needs to be dealt with. You know, it's just that Donald Trump, he's empowered. He is empowered behind the scene to do these things. That's why people scratch their heads, how did he get elected? Well, because God empowered him to be elected. He caused the hearts of man in America to come out and elect him. Because it's time. It's time for something to come on the scene and bring everything together and heal this whole entire system. And so that's what Donald Trump is doing right now. He is healing this system. And now when this system is completely healed, he is going to bring a peace to everything. You know, whether people like it or not, they might not agree with it, but he's going to bring a stabilizing peace to all these nations in the Middle East, the whole way over to Pakistan. He's going to deal with everything. He's going to be empowered to do it. He can't do it on his own. He's being empowered to do it behind the scene for a purpose. And the purpose is not because of this first creation. And now we're just living in luxury or whatever you want to say. We have equal rights going out and everything. Everyone's just living hunky-dory. All religions can have religious freedoms and everything and whatever. It's not about any of that. It is so that man displays the fullness of who he is and his strength in bringing forth his kingdom. And it's going to come against the two witnesses. These two witnesses are displaying the Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom and what he has been doing and been empowered to do for 2,000 years. And what he is doing is what the Father's will is, to create the second creation. That's what this kingdom is going to come against. And that's what these two witnesses are going to display. And so the first half of the week, they are going to be displaying their change within their heart and what the Lord Jesus Christ has been doing. And it is going to cause an effect in the area around them over there in Israel. Now, this system, this beast system that is going to heal this, is going to bring a peace. Israel is going to be confederate with it. You know, they're going to be all about this peace. Just like in scriptures of the Old Testament, you have Israel always doing this. Not the spiritual ones, but the government. You know, you have this, that they rather be one with the nations around them, using their strength and their cultures and everything, rather than doing what God wants. Now, so what's going to happen is these two witnesses are going to come in there. You have this temple that needs to be built. Now, what is this temple? The temple is not some physical structure in the sense of that's it. That's all it is just some physical thing. It displays what God is doing behind the scene, this spiritual building that he's been building since the beginning of time, through the Old Testament and now into the New, and what he's been doing for the past 2,000 years. He's been building this temple that he is going to dwell in, and this temple is going to worship him. And so, how's it going to be created? It's not going to be mankind that creates it. It's not going to be this first creation that creates it. It's not going to be some government that does it. Absolutely not. Horrible. I'd be saying that that's how you receive salvation. Absolutely it's not. It is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that builds this church. So it is going to be them that builds this temple. That's the purpose of this. They are going to be displaying what God has been doing for 2,000 years or even longer, building this temple. So they're going to do that. Now, here's the issue. The issue is there's a dome with a rock that is on the Temple Mount. So what does it represent? It represents the carnal side, the fleshly side of mankind. It represents all religions, and including this apostate Christianity today, and all governments and everything that is in this first creation. All the corruption, everything that is dealing with worshiping the spiritual realm rather than worshiping God himself. That is what that dome of the rock represents. It's the flesh. So what happens in the flesh, a man that is experiencing the born-again experience? He puts it to death. That's what the witness within them is going to do. They're going to destroy exactly what they have experienced in this physical realm. They're going to witness it. And that is what they're going to do to that dome. They're going to remove it. And in place of it is where they're going to build the temple. Because now this new birth is happening. They're going to display that. And that is the true witness. Now, you're going to have this beast system that's going to be like, what is going on? No, absolutely not. We're not having this. We just finally had peace for the first time in who knows how long, centuries. Then you have these two wackos that are coming on the scene, and they, what do? They get rid of this dome, and now the whole Muslim world is going to be in an uproar, and the peace is going to be threatened. Everything's going on. This beast system is going to tell Israel, put them to death now. Get rid of them. I don't care what you have to do. Deal with it. And so that's what this government of Israel is going to do. They're going to try to do it, but that is where you have these trumpets that start to sound and the judgments start to come to pass to Israel. Israel's not going to be able to put them to death. It's going to be impossible because they have already defeated all these works that Israel is doing to them. The next stage is this beast system sees that Israel can't do it and it's going to be enraged. It's going to be so pissed that it's not happening. They're going to come forward and they're going to come in and kill the two witnesses. And it's not that they're going to kill them in the sense that they have more power. It's the same thing as Jesus Christ experienced. And that Jesus Christ received a command of the Father that he was to lay down his life. He had power to do that, and he had power to take it back up. And so that's what they're going to be displaying. They have power. It's when they say it's time. And so when this system comes against them, the system's going to think it's them that did it. No, it's because they themselves were empowered to lay down their life. And then 3.5 days, they are going to be empowered to take their life back. And this is going to be the true witness of what God has been doing behind the scene. Now, this is going to affect the whole world. I mean, everything, because this is the capstone of what God has been doing. It all depends on where you are at within God's salvation, that you receive the watering of your seed and you will produce a fruit according to where you are at. If you are of the bride, then you're waiting on this. You have been prepared. You might not know exactly all that the two witnesses have experienced themselves or what they're saying, but you have come thus far in the Spirit of the Lord in this hour. And so when these two witnesses come on the scene and they see it, the bride is going to be like, amen, this is it. And when they resurrect, it is within moments that they're going to experience the rapture. You know, the rest of the world, it absolutely isn't, including this Christian world. They're going to go through a tribulation period. Because they don't worship Almighty God. They worship a false God. And the same thing with, you know, Israel herself. She's going to experience this. That's where it says Daniel 12:1. They have never experienced this up until this point. What's going to happen? It's because this beast system is going to come in here and destroy much of Israel. But when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out at the halfway mark, then Israel, what is remaining of Israel, the spiritual side, the ones that truly are looking for the Lord and the Messiah, they're going to experience Zechariah chapter 13. The Spirit is going to be poured out. Waters are going to be issued, and they're going to see the truth. They're going to experience the truth. Portions of them, that you have the 144,000, they're going to go forward and preach this. You're going to have Judea, whoever is there set up to take back their land in Israel and Jerusalem itself, they're going to go forward as a mighty man. Never again will it be inhabited by the Gentiles. Why? Because the Gentiles, they are typed out as the sinners, and Israel is typed out as the sons of God. So in the spiritual realm, which is what Israel is typing out, is that heavenly Jerusalem is not inherited by sinners. It is inherited by the sons of God. And so all of the sinners that are in the nation of Israel at this moment need to be removed. And that's what Israel is going to do at the halfway mark. Why? Because the bride of Christ is going to be resurrected, and they are going to go forward, and for the first time ever, they are going to remove all the wickedness in the spiritual realm, all of it. And this is what Israel is going to type out here on this earth in the physical realm.
And then the same thing with the world itself. You know, if you believed in the two witnesses, even though you might not have been in the things of Christianity up to a point, that is what the seed is planted in you. So when this Spirit of the Lord is poured out, because it's going to be poured out upon all flesh. And the reason why the Spirit's going to be poured out is this. So you're going to have these two witnesses, they raise up from the dead, and they go into heavenly places, and they sit down on the throne of Jesus Christ. This position that they have been given, not because they've done anything, but because this is God's will. This is how he wants it set up. And they are going to anoint the angels with their work that Jesus Christ has created in them. These angels are going to go forward and pour this work out on the whole entire world. Those who were in the tribulation period that are cheering on the death of these two witnesses, their seed is going to be watered, and it's going to produce a horrible effect in them. And they're going to go forward and just being nuts. I mean, they're nuts now. I mean, look at all the stuff going on. I mean, it's horrible. The seed that's within you, you either are going to, if you believed in two witnesses or if you didn't, that is, from that point forward, you're sealed. And then the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that's where the vials of wrath are poured out, which is none other than Satan himself being removed from the spiritual realm. Each vow is that portion of him being removed more and more, and his hold, and all his works that he has done in the spiritual realm. They need to be cleansed up. That's why the bride is being resurrected. It is what she is going to do. This idea that the bride is going to be resurrected, we're just going to go in the spiritual realm and have some supper with Jesus Christ, it is a bunch of bull. It's not what it is. The marriage supper of the Lamb is, we have a work to do. We are going to eat of this work. And this work is going to cleanse the spiritual realm of Satan and his angels and all the works they've ever done. That's what the bride of Christ is going to do. The temple in the heaven shall be opened. That's what it is. We have been resurrected, raptured. We are empowered, glorified bodies, sitting on thrones in heaven. Not here on earth, but in heaven. The earthly kingdom is still in corruption. It needs to be dealt with too, but we are going to cleanse the spiritual realm. The earthly realm, now that Satan is no longer there, we have direct contact now. Angels don't have to go through the darkness anymore to get to us or get to the sons of God here on earth. So us, the bride of Christ that has been resurrected, is going to roll in the spiritual realm, and there's going to be no hindrance. Satan's not going to be there. We are going to empower the angels to go forward, and they are going to minister unto Israel and the nations after this horrible effect of the tribulation period is over with. It is going to be Israel that rolls in this physical realm. We're going to be rolling in the spiritual realm. You know, and there's more to it. So these two witnesses, it's a male and a female. At some point, I'll talk more about this prince that is going to be sitting on the throne in this physical Israel. You look at it in Ezekiel 43rd chapter on, it talks about the prince. He has kids, sons. Well, if that's literally Jesus Christ himself, it makes no sense. Come on. There has to be something more to this, because Jesus Christ is not getting off his throne until the last enemy is cast into the lake of fire. until he subdues all enemies. He's not going anywhere. None of us are. We're going to be in a spiritual realm. We are going to dictate what happens. And it is going to be through the angels that bring this forward. We're not going to literally be in the physical. It's not the purpose of it. Or Jesus Christ would be here now. His coming back is the anointing that the angels go forward and do. They are empowered by Jesus Christ for this moment, by the 24 elders, which is another subject to talk about at a later time. They are clothed in white raiment. Then you have the bride of Christ, which is clothed in fine linen. And then you have the millennial saints, which is clothed in white robes. But at this time that Jesus Christ is ruling, he's ruling through 24 elders. And they are anointing the angels to go forward at this moment. Well, when the bride of Christ is resurrected, it's going to now be through the bride of Christ that the angels are experiencing their work. Now, there's so much, so much. All right, so just a little recap real quick. The two witnesses, they're going to be witnessing a change from within them, what they have experienced within their hearts. It's going to be a full measure. They're going to go forward, and they are going to witness this in great power. It's going to cause the whole world to take notice, and they're going to have a decision to make whether to believe in the two witnesses or not. Once they are put to death, then is when it's time for everything to happen. That's when they go into the heavenly places and onto the throne. All right, so that's it. So much more. That's why I say, you know, if you have questions, I mean, I need to know more stuff. I mean, I'm just coming into this stuff. I want to understand about the seventh seal. I have some understanding of these things. The fifth, sixth, and seventh seal haven't happened yet. They haven't been pulled. The seventh seal is when the seven trumpets begin. So that's the beginning of the tribulation period. So how do these things all come to pass? I have questions. And I'm sure many people have many questions. And this is the discussion I want to have, if there is going to be any discussion. For thus far, I haven't had any discussion with anyone. Pretty amazing. This is how God has it set up, that I don't talk to anyone. No one talks to me, you know, other than a passing question here or there from someone. You know, this is where we're at. I have the Spirit of the Lord. I know what he's doing in this hour. So you can go to my website, youngmantheprophet.com. Shoot me an email. Okay, well, the Lord Jesus Christ bless the hearing of what I have said today. You know, this is him doing this, and may you get something out of it, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless and perfect his elect.